Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Adani Power Limited Q1 FY25 results earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mohit Kumar from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Sagar. Good evening. On behalf of ICICI Securities, we are pleased to welcome you all to the Q1 FY25 earnings call for Adani Power Limited. Today, we have with us the management team represented by Mr. S.B. Khyalia, CEO, Mr. Dilip Jha, CFO, and Mr. Nishit Dave, AVP, Investor Relations. We'll start with brief opening remarks, which will be followed by Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, friends. Welcome to the earnings call for first quarter of 2024-25. I have with me our CFO, Mr. Dilip Jha, and the APL Finance team. Adani Power Limited continues to grow from strength to strength, fueled by a vibrant power market, operating excellence, and an agile and capable team. The Indian economy is hungry for more power, and the nation is blessed with most of the resources required to fulfill its needs. During the recently concluded quarter, APL posted a sharp year-on-year growth in PLF to 78% and greater power dispatch across all plants, aggregating to 26 billion units. APL's power dispatch under PPA improved because of growing power demand, lower prices of imported coal, and competitive position in merit order stacks. Our strategically located open capacities also benefited greatly from high merchant demand and tariffs due to our competent fuel management and logistic capability. Our O&M excellence allowed us to fully capitalize on the peak demand opportunity by ensuring high plant uptimes. As you all would be aware, we have now achieved almost full resolution of regulatory petitions related to domestic coal shortfall claims and recovered past dues from DISCOMs. Consequently, one-time revenue recognition of the prior period items has come down significantly, and our revenues as well as operating profit primarily reflect now ongoing business. Our constant endeavor to optimize fuel cost and to improve contribution per unit sold has borne fruit in the form of a sharp growth of 53% in continuing EBITDA. At the same time, our pragmatic management of cash flows and leverage has allowed us to bring down the finance cost. Consequently, profit before tax has nearly doubled during the quarter one of 2025 on a recurring basis. As you can see, APL has opened its fiscal year 2024-25 on a very strong note, and we are confident of continuing to perform with all-round excellence on the path ahead. Speaking of the future, the Mahan Energy and Phase II ultra-supercritical expansion project of 1,600 MW capacity is well underway to achieve its targeted completion by June 2027. The outlook for India's thermal power capacity growth is very favorable. The government has revised its power demand projections within just 2 years. It estimates that peak demand will grow from 250 GW currently to 400 GW by 2031-32. This will call for 80-90 GW of additional thermal power capacity to meet peak demand. Even if the target of 500 GW of non-fossil fuel-based capacity is achieved, state governments have already started to call for bids for supply of firm power under long-term PPA to meet power demand 5-6 years from now. Bids for supply of 6,400 MW from thermal power have already been invited by three states, while more bids are expected from other states soon. We have started to take proactive steps for capacity expansion in view of this positive outlook and our long-term goals. We have started advanced preparation for setting up 3 more projects of 1600 megawatt each at Raipur, Raigarh and Mirzapur. The Raipur and Raigarh projects are expansion of the existing power plants in Chhattisgarh, while the Mirzapur project in UP will be set up in a subsidiary company that we have acquired recently. We are awaiting NCLT approval of the resolution plans for Lanco Amarkantak and Coastal Energy, which will expand our operating capacity by 1800 megawatt and add another 1320 megawatt of under construction capacity. In addition to this, we are also evaluating further brownfield expansion projects of 4800 megawatt and inorganic opportunities of more than 1000 megawatt, which together will take our target capacities to 30.67 gigawatt by 2930. We are following an agile business model and integrated approach for augmenting assurances on project execution and operational fronts. We are also focusing on enhancing fuel security through commercial mining licenses under an asset-light model. We are highly confident of delivering value-accretive investments to our stakeholders by capitalizing on our core strengths. I would like now to invite Mr. Dilip Shah, CFO, to speak about the financial results, followed by a question and answer session. Thank you, and over to you, Dilip.
Thank you, Kalyan sir. Good afternoon, friends. I hope you all have downloaded the regional presentation that we have uploaded in the website. Adani Power Limited has delivered yet another quarter with strong financial performance, with higher volumes and revenues, improved profitability, and very healthy credit indicators. The company achieved excellent PLF of 78% and sales volume of 24 billion units in Q1 FY24-25. In comparison, it had posted 60% PLF and 17.5 billion unit sales volume in Q1 FY23-24. Almost all power plants contributed a higher PLF and volumes on back of higher power demand under PPAs and in the merchant market. The second 800 megawatt unit of Gota power plant was commissioned at the end of June last year, due to which the effective operating capacity was lower in Q1 FY24. In the recently concluded quarter, full generating capacity of Gota was available, which has contributed to higher volumes. Continuing operating revenue for Q1 FY25 grew by 29% to ₹14,717 crore as compared to ₹11,370 crore in Q1 FY24. Continuing total revenue grew by 30% to ₹50,052 crore in Q1 FY25 as compared to ₹11,612 crore in Q1 FY24. Import coal price for Q1 FY25 were lower as compared to Q1 of last year. Due to these, tariff realization in some PPAs with pass-through of import coal prices was slightly lower. At the same time, merchant tariff realization was strong in Q1 FY25 and resulted in higher contribution. This reduction in import fuel price was also reflected in the significantly lower growth in fuel cost for Q1 FY25, which was 17%. As a result, continuing EBITDA for the quarter grew by a strong 57% to ₹6,290 crore as compared to ₹4,121 crore in Q1 last year. During Q1 FY25, APL recognized a comparatively much smaller amount of ₹422 crore as one-time period, prior period revenue on account of regulatory order as compared to ₹6,497 crore in Q1 last year. The reported revenue and EBITDA now reflect the quarter's performance to a great extent, providing adequate clarity into the numbers. Further, as highlighted by our CEO, Mr. Kalia, earlier, we have been able to keep finance costs firmly under control with the stated aim of reducing leverage. We have utilized regulatory cash flows to prepay debt during the previous financial year, making the balance sheet very healthy, improving our credit ratings to AA family, and helping reduce interest rates. Finance cost for Q1 FY25 was ₹811 crore as compared to ₹883 crore in Q1 FY24. On the other hand, depreciation was higher at ₹996 crore versus ₹935 crore in the two quarters respectively due to the commissioning of Godda plant. This outstanding operating performance and cost control led to continuing profit before tax for Q1 FY25 nearly doubling to ₹4,483 crore versus ₹2,303 crore in Q1 FY24. After considering one-time item, the reported profit before tax for Q1 FY25 was ₹4,906 crore as compared to ₹8,800 crore for Q1 FY24 due to one-time regulatory income of more than 6,000 crore in Q1 last year. The company has recognized tax charge of ₹993 crore on consolidated basis during Q1 25 as compared to ₹40 crore in Q1 last year. This tax charge includes both current and deferred tax for the Godda plant and deferred tax for APL as a standalone entity. For Q1 FY25, profit after tax is ₹3,912 crore as compared to PAT of ₹8,759 crore for Q1 24. And I explained that this is due to one-time past regulatory income recognition in last year, which was approximately more than 6,000 crore. APL has now formally established its credentials as a dynamic and profitable leading power producer with high liquidity and excellent credit worthiness. It is poised squarely to convert the upcoming growth opportunity into profitable and secure investment that generate value for all stakeholders. In the coming quarters and years, we hope to share more exciting developments and strong performance with you on a consistent basis, and hope to engage you closely in discussions about our prospects. I would now like to request the moderator to open the floor for question and answer. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Uma Menon from Bernstein. Please go ahead. Ms. Menon, your line is unmuted. Please proceed with your question.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. I just had a couple of questions. The first one being, if you could please provide an update on the completion of acquisition timeline on Lanco Amarkantak, and if there are any updates on other acquisitions planned, such as KSK Mahanadi and the coastal energy plants. Thank you.
So, thank you for your question. Both, the inorganic acquisitions of Lanco and Coastal, the awards are reserved. and we are expecting that the result will be announced very soon. So we are waiting for the result.
The other part which you have asked is KSK Mahanadi. KSK Mahanadi is under bid and its submission is probably today by end of business hours. So it is still under bid.
Oh, sure, sir. Thank you. And the second question is around batteries. You know, with the lowering costs that we're seeing on batteries and the low tariffs that we saw, slightly lower than before tariffs seen in on the SECI tenders recently, do you see these as a threat to the merchant thermal portfolio?
See, whether it is renewable or whether it is battery, they would be available during the daytime because battery is yet not really competitive as compared to the thermal. And any rates related to solar, they would be available during the daytime. And during daytime, we don't consider that going forward we will have PLF more than, let us say, 55-60%. And with that understanding only, our all projections and investment decisions are being taken. However, this solar power would be available only for 7 to 8 hours. And rest of the 16 hours, the base load would be made from the thermal only. So if we take full load during 16 hours and let us say 55% during 8 hours, still the PLF would be above 70%, which is very, very good PLF for a thermal station.
All right, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much. That's all from me.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Abhyankar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Sir, I had a couple of questions. So can you just elaborate upon how are we looking on tying up for PPAs for organic expansion and which states have come out with tenders and what will be the duration of these PPAs?
As we stated, three states are already there with their bids. Maharashtra, 1600 megawatt thermal, UP, 1600 megawatt thermal, and Rajasthan 3200 megawatt thermal. So these three states are already there for totaling to 6400 megawatt. And many other states, as per the resource adequacy report of the Central Electricity Authority, many of the states are having deficit. And there is an advisory obviously to all these states that they have to ensure resource adequacy, because going forward, it would be obligation and obligatory on the utilities to ensure 24/7 supply. So we expect a lot of such bids and tenders will come. And therefore, whatever inorganic or organic expansion which we have planned, we are of the view that we would be in a position to tie up the long-term PPAs. And these PPAs of these three states, which I mentioned, are having duration of 25 years.
Understood. And so, for the plants which are considering for acquisition, can you speak on the how much of the capacity is tied up already, and is there any merchant capacity available?
In case of Coastal, which is for where the NCLT has reserved the order, NCLT has reserved order actually for both the Coastal as well as Lanco Mercantile. In case of Coastal, one unit of 600 megawatt is tied up under the PPA with the Tamil Nadu, and one unit is available under merchant. And in case of Lanco Mercantile, the entire 600 megawatt is tied up under the PPA, and 1320 megawatt, which is under construction, and the reconstruction is almost 70% complete. That is open, available for we can use as merchant, or we can tie up with the states against their bids. So it is available free capacity.
Understood, sir. And sir, almost 22% of the revenues have come from merchant. So how much was the merchant sale in units, if you can give? And if you can also talk about the spreads, how much spread or cross spreads have we earned on it, and what was it compared to last year?
The revenue realization is 7.45 rupees on an average for the quarter.
Okay.
And the cost was 2.89 rupees, so there was a contribution of 4.56 rupees.
4.56 rupees, okay. And what was it compared to last year, though?
Last year, the tariff was 7.57, so it was almost same. But coal cost was higher because of the higher coal cost of imported coal, as well as in the auction also the premiums were very high because of less availability of coal. Whereas mm-hmm. this year the availability of coal from even Coal India under the auction is also very comfortable, and therefore in the auction the premium has gone down. So last year the coal cost was actually on higher side. It was 3.86. And therefore, the contribution was 3.71 as against the contribution of 4.56 this year. So, mm-hmm. contribution has gone up almost by 85 paisa.
Understood, sir. And sir, mostly the sales will be in medium term or short term PPAs or bilateral trade, but bilateral market?
It is mostly bilateral, less than 1 year,
okay.
And then some balance capacity, which because you cannot tie up 100% under the short-term PPAs where you have the obligation of take or pay. So
mm-hmm.
even from that capacity which is available for merchant, 20-30% is kept for the exchange rate also. So
okay.
the 70-80% is tied up for less than a year under the bilateral agreements, and balance is sold through the power exchange.
Understood, sir. Understood. Thank you, and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Puneet from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. My first question is on your thoughts on the merchant power. Would you want to keep, you know, any more capacity open for merchant, or would you rather tie it up with PPAs given the current demand supply situation?
We are, as per our internal assessment, we are keeping around 20% under merchant. That should be a sort of balancing act whereby we don't want to expose us for market risk more than the 20%. And 20% is sufficient to take the advantage of higher rates from the market. So we are of the view that we should keep around this only 80% to 20% ratio.
So not even for the expansion, you would like to keep 20% merchant?
So for expansion also, you would like to tie up through the long-term PPA, and only 15% to 20% capacity we will keep for the merchant.
So just to interject here, Puneet Kishit here. So actually, see, the capacities that we are acquiring, under the NCLT route and others, those do not have full tie-ups. But they are actually located very advantageously, close to all the coal-bearing areas. So those capacities are well-suited for the merchant market. While the newer capacities that we are going to set up, the brownfield, greenfield expansion, for those we will look at full tie-ups under PPA.
And availability of credit, is there credit available for the merchant part of the capacity as well? Or would you have to fund it out of your internal accruals?
Credit is available nowadays even for merchant also, because there is a clear indication from Government of India that since now the rates in the market are quite attractive, and therefore the financial institutions and banks would look into the standalone viability of the capacities. And now since the market, merchant market is quite matured, so it is available, and the institution and bank are open to look into the merchant capacity. And in case of, let us say, our Mahan Power project, we have tied up capacity of 1320 megawatt out of 1600 megawatt. So partial capacity is already considered by the financial institutions for funding, though it is under the merchant capacity.
Understood. That's very helpful. And secondly, in your analysis, how are you protecting yourself against potential future carbon taxes? Do the PPAs have a clause which allow you a pass-through, or is that a risk that you will be exposed to later on?
See, any carbon tax would be obviously would be a change in law, and therefore it would be passed through under the PPAs. In fact, you may be aware that already we are having 400 rupees per metric ton, which was called initially as green cess, and then yeah, it was named as nowadays the GST compensation cess. But the objective was to call it as a green cess and to use for those type of objective. And that green cess, when it was imposed initially 50 rupees, then it was 800 rupees, and ultimately today it is 400 rupees. And it is allowed as pass-through under the PPA. So similar thing, if anything further is imposed related to carbon tax or any tax, it will get pass-through under the PPA.
And can you also talk about the future acquisition opportunities apart from the KSK and Lanco? What others would you be evaluating or is available in the market?
So, Puneet, obviously we cannot give you names of these targets, but we are evaluating the opportunities as they come, you know, as we come across them. And we look at certain criteria for selecting and, you know, going through the evaluation process before we bid for them. So, for example, the quality of the equipment, how well the plant has been maintained, how well endowed it is in terms of key enablers like water availability, transmission availability, whether it is close to coal-bearing sites, whether it has got room for expansion. So all those things are taken into consideration first, and only then do we decide if we want to bid for a specific project.
And so without the name, any intent on the size, because I would presume those would come in faster and greenfield will still take about 5 years to come from now.
Yeah, so actually, you know, so there are ongoing evaluations and bidding is also going on, as we also mentioned earlier. So we will look at good projects over there. But primarily, inorganic expansion is not really the key strategy that we are following. It is actually to get access to good sites, get access to capacities that can be turned around quickly, and fulfill the demand niche that we find in the market.
See, the company has good cash flow, so whatever opportunity will be available which fits into our objective, obviously we would be looking into that. So whatever will come and available, we would be looking into that.
Okay. That's very good. Thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Bharat Shah from Ask Investment Managers Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi. The merchant power offers flexibility and promise of a higher reward. But of course, there is certain risk, especially in a leverage business. while the PPAs give us predictability, but probably will lock us down into relatively a potential of lower returns. How do we policy-wise, what is our philosophy and strategy to balance risk and reward between merchant and the PPAs?
I think I have already answered this question earlier, but nevertheless, for the sake of repetition, I would like to say that we have internal sort of a strategy whereby we want to tie up 80% of the capacity through long-term PPAs, which will give us stable returns. And 20% we are keeping open, whereby we can optimize our returns by taking the advantage of good returns in the market. So that is the broad strategy.
Okay. Sorry, I missed that earlier part. My apologies. Second, likely given the way economy is growing and given the way it is a synergistic growth across many, many sectors, therefore GDP growth is likely to be far more burgeoning type and combining amongst many sectors, plus given the thrust of growth on manufacturing and industry, energy demand growth, we are likely to overshoot all projections. So given 11-12% kind of likely electricity demand and the growth in the coming period on a per annum basis, what kind of our growth the picture would show? Will it be, what kind of multiple do we see compared to overall energy demand growth in the system?
In my opening remarks, I have already stated that in last 2 years, Government of India has changed its estimates. And now Government of India is of the view that by 2031, the peak demand would be 400 gigawatt. And out of 400 gigawatt, around 300 gigawatt is to be met from the thermal capacity. And today we have 217 gigawatt. And out of 217 gigawatt, around, let us say, 10 gigawatt will be scrapped because of the aging. So about 80 to 90 gigawatt additional capacity would be required in next 5 to 6 years. And there are obviously very less number of developers now available in the country. So we have already stated that we have very good expansion plan, whereby today we have 15 gigawatt capacity and we are planning to achieve by 29-30 at least 30 gigawatt. That is at least 30 gigawatt. It all depends on how the future demand will come up. So we will try to match our growth plans with the demand growth. And obviously we are very bullish, because not only that it will help us in absorbing our additional capacities, but obviously we are of the view that there would be good rates available. So our realization should go up also, apart from growth in terms of quantum.
So which means in volume terms probably will grow at the rate of 15% over 5-6 years. I thought it was in my earlier discussions with you, my impression was at a rate higher than that is what volume growth we are aiming at.
Brother, I'm sorry, your voice wasn't very clear. Can you please repeat what you said?
I'm saying in my earlier discussions with you, my impression has been that we are aiming at volume growth much higher than what Dilipji is just now mentioning. because this will imply about 15% volume growth over next 5-6 years. But I thought we are looking at achieving a much better number than that.
I think we gave the same number. We have never given in terms of capacity numbers more than this. So this is our announced and notified capacity to exchange also and to everybody. We have given the same number that we are going to have capacity about 30 gigawatt as against today's 15 gigawatt.
Okay. And maybe then I've been more optimistic than what has been suggested. Therefore, revenues are likely to be growing at a rate faster since realizations will probably improve.
Yeah, that would be obvious because as I stated that if the economy is going to grow faster and the demand is going to be higher, in that case, the rate realization would be much higher. So our growth in terms of revenue would be one because of the doubling of the capacity and the second would be because of the higher rate realization. So there would be combination of these two.
And by implication, profit growth would be even much higher because of the basic equation underlying that.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and 1 on your touchtone phone. Participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Raghav, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening, everyone. So my question is regarding green ammonia blending project at Mundra site. So I would like to know about the outcome of that and future prospect in terms of raw material and raw material cost. If we implement further that green ammonia, that will be, I think, also beneficial for our greenhouse, that our reducing carbon footprint.
We are carrying out the pilot study. So first, we have to establish whether the green ammonia can be co-fired with the coal or not. So we are in the state of technical study at this stage. Once the technical possibility is established, then we have to see on the part of the viability of the rates of the ammonia and also whether that would be available as pass-through under the provisions of PPA. So it has to be seen from multiple angles. One is the technical feasibility. Second is the market rates of ammonia and whether the power generated based on that will be allowed as pass-through under the provisions of PPA. So if all things go on the expected lines and the rates are viable, obviously we'll go ahead with that. So at this stage, we are in the technical feasibility study stage. So would be difficult to give the future roadmap, but we are trying to make it feasible so that we can reduce our footprint.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Lakdeep, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. What is the future of electricity supply to Bangladesh and how the payment is payment situation is there right now with the Bangladesh?
We have signed the agreement for 1600 megawatt and the PPA is for 25 years. So obviously the PPA will last for 25 years. So there is no question about future as regards to the already concluded agreement. As regards to payment is concerned, we have started getting good payment from last few months, and every process is well established now. And on an average, 4 to 5 months of arrears is there for all the power suppliers of Bangladesh. So it's not that we are getting some different treatment. We are going to get the same treatment, which used to be, which is the similar situation in India also. So the way we get the payment in India from the DISCOMs, similarly we are getting the payment from the Bangladesh also with some time lag, obviously, because of these are government utilities. So there are obviously would be outstanding to their suppliers. So as per the process, we are getting now the regular payments.
Okay. And are we expecting any increase in supplies to Bangladesh?
No, increase, we have fully tied up our power project. So the entire power is going to Bangladesh.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's a dedicated power station to Bangladesh. It's not even connected with the Indian grid. So everything is going to Bangladesh. And Bangladesh is taking full power.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. It was really, you know, very interactive session. And if still anyone wants any, you know, further clarification or any query, please feel free to approach us. And the way is always there. And thank you. Thanks a lot again. See you soon in next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.